talking, mom's talking, just a couple of moms talking.
All right, you guys ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right. We're back. It's week two of Moms Talking. I'm Patty.
I'm Jackie.
Karen. Karen's joining us remotely, so her voice may sound a little bit different. We're still working on the technical aspects of recording a podcast, but we got it together.
Here we are.
We're here for week two. We've got our happies and sads. A lot has happened since we recorded our last podcast. Everybody's thinking right now about the victims of Harvey. Our hearts go out to them. Do the right thing, people.
Yep.
Make your donations. Find a good local charity to give to.
My son is going to donate all of his share account to the.
Really? Yeah. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Do you know where you're going to donate?
No, not yet.
You haven't picked a charity yet?
He has to
yet?
Do the research, find it.
There's a lot of, I noticed MoveOn.org and Sierra Club are both saying if you donate to them, they will give 100% of your donation to local charities. So if you're worried about vetting charities.
So MoveOn.org and the Sierra Club.
Yeah.
Very good. I will tell him. That's good.
Because they're
Red
both.
Cross. I always like Red Cross.
And Red Cross, although there's a lot of debate about, I mean, some people are upset about the Red Cross rating for how much money they, you know, spend on their staff and salaries and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what they're saying.
And do the work, though.
They do. And I heard this woman speaking who was in Obama's cabinet working on disaster relief. And she said that the thing about the Red Cross is they are equipped to handle emergencies on the ground. And that's what we need right now is people who know what they're doing. So it's okay to give to the Red Cross. We'll work on their other issues later. Because right now they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and no complaints. So for anyone who missed our first episode,
how could you miss our first episode? Oh, my God.
There's so much to listen to. It's a rich, rich, rich episode.
I love the ending.
Oh, you like the editing? we took out all our swear words.
Don't do that.
But what happens on this podcast is that we're all moms. I have one kid. Jackie has
one.
Karen has
four.
but if we average it all together, we each have two.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll share, you guys, but you have to take over on Saturday night.
Oh. We'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
But so we're a bunch of left-leaning moms. We'll be having other moms coming in and out, joining us as we move forward.
Patty, I did tell you that mom once said she wants to be on. So you may have a left-leaning grandma.
A left-leaning grandma.
Whoa. We can have my mom on, who's a very right-leaning grandma.
Okay.
Well, I don't even tell her about this.
We need to get a little more experience before we have people on.
We need
on.
To research that, definitely.
Yeah. But, in case you can't tell, Karen and I are sisters. We're two of four sisters. Jackie is not our sister. But she's our sister, if you know what I mean. She's a sister.
Sister resister.
She's a sister resister. That's right. And what we do is we talk about the things that are important to us, which right now will involve a lot of politics because it's important to everybody in the world. And the way we do it is every week we each bring a yes, no, or a happy, sad. You don't have to have both. Sometimes you will, sometimes you won't, but we're each going to present a happy topic, a sad topic, and comment on it, and we're going to allow ourselves to say we don't know everything. We're not experts.
I don't know anything.
But that's one of the things that we're going to find out is what do we want to learn more about? Hopefully in the future we can get some experts in to help us on some of these topics.
And plus, we want to say it's from a mother's perspective, but right. You don't hear a lot of voice out there from, you know, we're two white women who live in the suburbs.
Right. Right. Especially women our age.
Dare we say middle age?
No. Do not say that.
That means I'm going to live to be 102, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say middle aged is pretty generous.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll go with that. For sure, baby. All right, so I think Jackie should start this week.
Okay, so I'm going to start this week with a happy. Actually, it's a yes. It's not really a happy. But anyway, I'm in the middle of moving, and I feel like I'm just unloading all these boxes and boxes and boxes of books and all this stuff. So this ties in because I went to work the other day, and I have this little pocket edition of a Buddhist readings. And so I read the other day, I was reading, and it says, abandon hope. And so I'm like, well, that is not sound very positive. But I was thinking about it, and it really struck me. So that's what I want to share today.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, hope, obviously we all have hope. But I was thinking for my, you know, situation, I'm always looking like, what's next? What's next? What's next? What can I do better? Like a lot of women do. And I have, you know, 52 self-help books at my house. And when it says abandon hope, I'm like, I didn't think that made sense. So I kept reading, and it's like, fear is the other side of hope. So if you have hope, then there's going to be fear. And so, but they come from the feeling that we lack something. They come from a sense of poverty. So we can't simply relax with ourselves. We hold on to hope, and hope robs us of the present moment. And so I really relate to that because I'm always like, looking of how I can improve myself. And I think a lot of women do that.
We do. Definitely.
And I have, you know, all these books that I've read half of or the first chapter of. And anyway, I just thought that was really crazy. So now I have abandoned hope written on things, and I'm sure people think I'm weird. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a Buddhist thing that I always share too with my students, that it's not the change that's causing your pain. It is your resistance to the change.
Right.
And I think goes along with that too, is, you know, you can't just sit back and hope for things to change. You have to take action, and that's painful and scary.
Right.
Which is actually what we were talking about today about Dianne Feinstein and her comments about Trump and how maybe he'll change. She took such a middle of the road, you know, insight.
She's resisting the resistance.
Yeah.
She needs to get in the flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, like Karen will know that this is like, I really struggled when you first told me this concept, because I'm constantly, we text all the time with our other sisters, and I have a constant, our ongoing argument with our youngest sister, because she's very cynical. And she's like, the Republicans are going to do what they're going to do, and there's no reason we can't do anything about it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you have to have hope. You know?
Yeah.
So when you said abandon hope, I was like, wait a minute, I'm struggling with that idea, except that I think part of what you're saying is like, if you accept who you are, then it's easier to love yourself.
Exactly.
When you love yourself, you don't get threatened by people who are different.
And you're happier.
Right.
There's not enough time to waste on being negative. So.
Right, right. So you're not giving up hope for the world.
No.
But you're giving up the idea that you need to be something different.
But I'm hoping for something to change.
Yeah.
When everything is just fine.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's good advice.
Yep.
Especially
if you're not scared of other people are going to think of what you do, even though you know it's the right thing to do.
Right. Especially for moms, because it's not just about ourselves. It's like we're always wondering, are we good enough mothers? Are we are we parenting correctly as well? And are we being judged for parenting?
I worry about what you put on Facebook because some of my kids' teachers follow me.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, God, they think of my kids if I say this, you know? And sometimes you don't want your opinions to reflect on the way they're treated, but.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm okay with it now.
Yeah. It's been a hard one with the politics. And like, I'm always worried about, if you follow me on Facebook, you know that all my posts are just political. And for a while I worried about offending people or maybe like future employment opportunities. And then finally I was like, well, I don't want to work anywhere where they would not hire me because of those points of view. And if someone doesn't like me because of my points of view, I don't know what to do about that. I mean, I have friends I know I disagree with, you know, and I'm still going to be kind to them and be their friends. If they don't feel the same way, there's really nothing we could do about it.
That's right.
We have to be who we are. All right. So do you have a...
I did not have time to be negative this week because I'm unpacking.
That's awesome.
So I don't have a no. I mean, obviously the hurricane and all that. That's, yeah. But, you know.
That can be your no.
That's everybody's no.
It's everybody's no this week for sure.
What's your... Yes.
Should I do my... can I do my no first?
Of course.
Because I think that
you don't have to change anything about yourself. You just do what you're going to do. And it's all good.
Okay. Well, I wanted to revisit something that was in the news a little while back. You guys all remember the kerfuffle about Steve Mnuchin's wife on Instagram? And they're calling it her let them eat cake moment. And so there was this thing where she posted an Instagram picture of herself on getting off a government jet. And then she and this was on Instagram, and then she tagged all of her expensive clothes, the name brands and everything, and she said it was a fun day trip. And and then this other woman responded and said, please don't tag your Hermes scarf, that's distasteful. And then this Mnuchin's wife's name is Louise Linton, and she went on this rant. I mean, her response is like three paragraphs. Yeah. And it was all about, oh, isn't that cute? You know, first of all, there's creepy things about what she said. Like, your kids are cute. Don't bring people's kids into a political conversation ever. Kids are not,
right.
You know, hands off on the kids. That was just creepy. But then she was like, she says, I'm pretty sure we paid more taxes toward our day trip than you did. Pretty sure the amount we sacrifice per year is a lot more than you'd be willing to sacrifice if the choice was yours. On and on. Okay, so that was horrible, awful, sickening, the way she talked to that woman. And that's what everyone picked up on. And I was like, gross. And then I looked at a screenshot of her Instagram post. And there's a comment that was captured just before this whole kerfuffle from some other guy that says, and I don't even know if this could be someone who's being paid to post, but he says, I'm a 40-year-old black man who is so glad to have class back in the executive branch of our government. And to top it all off, equally glad these men have gorgeous women on their arms. I'm hoping to find a wife like that, just a working man and a striving entrepreneur. Hashtag MAGA. I'm glad you're laughing, Karen. I was like, can you believe this? And this is what made me sad. I was like, so people got all excited about the girl fight that was going on and missed this comment that's like, just represents everything that's wrong about this administration's attitude towards women.
And why we started this podcast.
Right. And one of the reasons we started this podcast is because we have to point out that there's a lot of stuff going on that's far more hateful than Louise Linton tagging her Hermes scarf, which, yes, her response was terrible, but there's something much more insidious going on there that nobody even mentioned.
Of course not.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
So that was...
That's a good one.
Yeah.
The woman-to-woman viciousness of that whole thing was so ridiculous. You know, she's like, oh, you're so cute, your little light, you know? I mean, it was just so awful.
Yeah,
just,
she's a public figure.
It's the whole attitude of, you know, us versus them type. You know, I'm better than you as a woman because I look this way, you know?
Yes. She was just amplifying what this man who commented on her Instagram was stating, which is that you're arm candy. Congratulations.
Right.
And where do I get one?
Yeah. Well, and I hope that I could be like your husband, not like you. I hope I could be like your husband.
But that's just, you know what? This is where we're at with this president. It's all like so tacky. Everything here is, it's just so.
I know. That's the irony. Speechless. It's speechless. Oh, the women. your wives are so classy. And I was like, just the fact that you would say that is so tacky. Just, yeah. It's gross. So, but I do have a happy.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So this is kind of on the same theme about, you know, be happy with who you are. This is an article I saw that was recapping an interview that Joanne Reed did. She's an MSNBC commentator.
Hey, AM Joy.
Yep, we love AM Joy. And I'll just read you the headline because it really sums it up. But she said, it says, Joanne Reed nails the problem with the Democratic Party. As long as we keep playing to the people who voted for Trump, we're stuck in neutral. And then she said, so she says, the Democrats are now a party that are looking for consensus, and they're looking for it so desperately that they never come up with a coherent frame for themselves. And then, actually, it was Trevor Noah who was doing the interview. He says, what do you mean when you say that? And she said, because Democrats, although they understand, I think deep down that they are the party of black and brown people, of gay people, of marginalized people, they still long to be the party of the Pabst Blue Ribbon voter, the Coors Light drinking voter. And Noah said, could they not be both? Why could they not be both? And Reed said, because those voters are Republicans. That vote has migrated from being a Democratic Party vote to being a Republican Party vote, and Democrats haven't accepted it. The way I put it is this way. People say, why do people vote against their economic interests? Why don't they vote values? Democrats vote against their economic interests. If you live in New York and you make New York salary, you're voting against your economic interests whenever you vote for Democrats. Why do you think people on the other side don't do the same? They're not voting because of economics. They're voting because the Republican Party represents their values. They don't care about economics. Why the DNC is doing such a poor job with fundraising right now? It's because of moves like the ill-fated unity tour with Tom Perez and Bernie Sanders, or the endless debates over whether to replace primaries with caucuses led by people like Nomiki Konst, who have no business being in the Democratic Party. But given the longevity of Bernie Sanders' primary campaign last year and the Democrats to win, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I shouldn't have read that last paragraph because she really nailed it in the first part. We'll cut that out. Anyways, so the point being, you know, accept who you are. So the Democrats, you know, we're all like tearing our hair out. Like, how do we please the Republicans? How do we get them to vote Democrat next time? How do we pick a candidate that they will vote for? And it doesn't matter. There's enough black, brown, marginalized people and women who can unite on enough issues that we could pick anyone we wanted who was going to represent us.
And all they have to do is actually vote.
And just get them to vote.
Just get them to
vote. Yeah. So we need to stop, like, stressing over who can win, who can't win, and just get out there and get people to vote for someone who's going to represent them.
Democrats are always too politically correct. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's that'll be a good topic for next week because there's been a lot of discussion about moderates and how dangerous they are. So, yeah.
I don't think you can be middle of the road anymore. I don't think it's possible.
No, it's time to get a little, it's time to go a little crazy. Let's get crazy, people.
But a lot of people are disenfranchised. They don't even get involved at all, period, in politics.
Right.
So those are the people we need to get going and voting. And
well, I think a lot of them, that's what part of the outreach needs to be, is a lot of voter registration, letting people know that, you know, you're allowed to vote, you're allowed to represent yourself, and we want to get you to the polls to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many, I'll ask people about politics. They're like, I don't follow politics. I don't even watch the news because I just can't take it. I'm like, oh my God.
Because you can't take it.
Yeah. They think it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of that in the last election because you know what? You know, a lot of, especially a lot of younger people, like if you were old enough to vote in this election, so Obama had been your president since you were 10 years old.
Wow.
So you didn't have to think about politics, right? Unless you were just angry about, you know, about a black man in the White House, then maybe you thought about it.
Who was born in Kenya, right?
Who was born in Kenya. Right. But now everybody's got to pay attention, ma'am, because you could lose everything.
We are. It's yeah.
All right, KJ, you got a happy sad?
Yeah. Are you having a hot flash there?
Yeah.
I turned my fan on, so that's why I'm laughing. I was having one too. Okay.
So for the listeners, Karen's on Skype and she can see us. So she can see me fanning myself. I hope I'm not messing up the microphone. Like, is it?
No.
Is there
I
wind
can't
rushing?
Hear it, only see it. And I guess that I just reached over to turn my fan on because I was having a hot flash.
Well, they'll just know that like the Mom's Talking podcast always has wind in the yeah. background. It's because everybody's having hot flashes.
There's always breeze.
There's a lot of fanning going
and
on.
And now you just gave away our ages again. Again.
Okay. Well, my definite disastrous no is obviously the repeal of DACA.
Yeah.
And, you know, being in education, was doing some research, and, you know, out of the 800,000 that are potentially affected, they're saying that at least 20,000 of these are teachers.
Oh, my gosh.
So Teach for America actually has a DACA program where they take DACA because, you know, they look for underserved populations, and they are putting these teachers in these areas where they grew up, which obviously they're the most effective.
Right.
And if this goes through, they will be yanked out of their classrooms and we'll have 20,000 or so classrooms with no qualified teachers. And that will be in our most needy schools, you know, low SES, high turnover schools. So that is just, I'm really stressed out about what's happening with that. And if there's back and forth tonight about what's going on,
right?
If it's really repealed or not, but it just, as far as education, it really bothers me. Again, talking about educating people, you know, people need to understand that it's not just going to affect who's sitting in the Oval Office. It's going to affect, you know, your school. Down right. the street, you're the teacher that lives next door to you, who has been here since they were 3 years old.
Aren't so, like, I think it's almost, I think there's like over 40% of Dreamers are also in college. So think about the impact it's going to have on universities.
You know, the UC system is impacted as well. And that would be, I mean, the students just disappear. I mean,
right.
What happens?
Right. Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason about how that's going to affect it. And obviously jobs and the economy, which, you know, I thought this was supposed to be the business president. Has he not thought about that? I don't know.
No, I mean, it all goes to show that this really isn't about anything other than just prejudice, right? I mean, they were trying to say that they were going to pass a bill where only very, very qualified immigrants could get in. But now they're they're sending mixed messages because these are young people who came here illegally, but through no choice of their own. And now they're doing everything they can. I mean, you have to qualify to be in this program. So these are young people who are doing everything they can to make a contribution, get an education. And they're saying, oh, actually, that's not good enough either. I mean, it's like, what? So the only thing that it comes down to is that they don't like the color of their skin. You know, there's like nothing they can do that will make them qualified to stay in this country.
Yep. I mean, what more can they do? They're teaching kids in underserved areas,
right.
And that's not enough. We're going to send them back to a country they never really belonged to.
Yeah.
So,
but I bet you the average person has no idea about any of this. I didn't know that a lot of them were teachers.
Yeah.
If you look on the Teach for America site, like I said, I did some, I heard about it on the Sunday shows, and then I was doing some research, and they actually have a DACA program for Teach for America, and, you know, their director was talking about, you know, the numbers and statistics that they serve, and then I was looking for overall teacher populations, and the estimate is, you know, at least 20,000 are DACA documented teachers.
Wow.
And, you know, these are people who have never, they don't have criminal records. They went to college.
Right.
They have grad degrees.
They're doing service.
So,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's my negative. I'm going to be watching very closely about that. And then my positive, speaking of women who are not afraid to speak their mind, Patty, you know this. I was very excited that HRC is going on the road.
I said that was going to be your positive.
She's going to stand in front of thousands of people, and she's going to speak her mind. And, I mean, you know, she just persists, and I just love that about her. I may not agree with every single thing in that book or anything, but I just love that she still stands up there and says, you know, he was creeping me out. He stalked me in the in the debate. And she's not afraid to stand up and say, I lost, but I'm still here.
Yeah.
And, you know, just I think for women, she just, and that's why she's probably threatening, but she just persists.
She's going to be, and I just love that about her. I'm glad that she's going to continue to be part of the discussion. And I mean, there's a perfect example of how, you know, Hillary is who she is. She's nerdy. She's smart. She's super cautious in the way she talks. And she got nothing but criticized for her personality.
Exactly.
It's like,
nasty, Patty, because she speaks her mind.
Yeah. But she wasn't a sunny, cheery, cheeky, you know, personality.
Were saying before, she wouldn't do well on that Instagram post.
No, she would not have a popular Instagram.
Well, her opponent wasn't based on his personality.
No, well, yeah. No. If we were going to base it on his personality, there's no way he would have won.
I was more about the things you were talking about. It was more about not wanting her and that. What that represented versus watching him.
I mean,
and I'm just so proud that she's going to go out and, you know, say what she feels. We don't all have to agree with it, but she's going to stand up there and say what she thinks.
Yeah, I'm proud of her too. This is, again, a topic for another week, but I heard a discussion with a guy who did a lot of the political focus groups during the campaign, and they were, in this interview, they asked him, you know, do you think sexism played a role in this election? He's like, yes.
he said, hello.
Yeah. He said, not just men, but there were plenty of women who were like, I just can't see voting for a woman. So I was thinking about this. Okay. Can I say one last thing I was thinking about on this topic was that, you know, there's been a lot of comparisons of the resistance to the civil rights movement. And, you know, remember when Martin Luther King said, I dream of a day when when children are judged.
Not by the color of their,
by the content of their character. And I was like, how about not by the color of their skin, not by their gender?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone's taken at face value. That will be a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's it for this week, ladies.
That was great. I learned a lot.
Did you?
I did. I always learn from you. And you.
And I learned from you because you made me think about
abandoning hope. That's what I'm here for.
That's it. Yeah. Sometimes when you use different words to say something you've heard before, it makes you think about it in a whole new way.
Yep. So abandon hope, everyone.
All right. Abandon hope. But have hope for America. Because if we don't have hope for America, we're all going to stay home instead of getting out in the streets and doing what we need to do. So, but we will be perfect as we do it.
That's right. We'll be just good enough.
In our imperfection. That's right. All right, moms. Talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Talking moms, talking just a couple.